Hi, and welcome to the IDEMS podcast. I'm David Stern, a founding director of IDEMS, and it's my privilege today to be with Professor Bauer again for our second episode together. We had a recent episode where he told us about the long history he's had working on Millet Headminer, and we said in that episode that we would have another episode where we would go into the details of the team he has built. Bauer, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. So I use also Macron Francis to tell us to Bradley, because when it starts, you have one entomologist in here, one in Burkina Faso, and one in Mali. So you have many, many work to do. And we work together and we understand. So we have a morning, so we have to work with this is the best we can. But the problem is how to, where we say ourselves, okay, no salary. So we have to build our system using students. So you know, students, if you have a student, yeah, he's students, by example. So we have a people who want to progress. You need communication. You need to be in a team. So we took PhD students. And around with PhD students, we can have master's or check on some of that. And around with master, we can have also some bachelor. So at our university, we have a kind of stage for application, what we don't say, practical part. So we need to go for 3 months, 6 months working in a team. So this system helps us to work, to have more people, because in my laboratory, when I start, I don't have any technician. And the money we get from foundation, we say we have to use it to pay some allowance to our students to help them. But really, having a salary is not possible. So we want to continue working. So we have people who come and work with us. We're a practical part of the training. So we use them and we did a very good job there.
I observed this when I first interacted with you. This was back over 10 years ago now. And I was astounded at already then the way you had this pyramid of students, where you had your doctoral students. At that point, I don't think you had many postdocs, people who'd finished the doctorate there. But you had your doctoral students helping the master's students being part of their supervision. You had the master's students being part of the supervision of the bachelor's students. And it meant you had this immense number of students, which was unimaginable for other projects. And it's this thing which I've mentioned in other cases, and I've learned so much from observing people like yourself, seeing constraints as opportunity. In your environment, you had a manpower constraint. There weren't the people there to do the work. And you turned that constraint into your greatest strength, because now the people who you trained like that, they're becoming experts. They're becoming well-known. They're getting employed by universities across the countries, the three countries. They're getting employed in the National Agricultural Research Centers. And you have this immense team of people who have gone through all with this same mentality of how to build teams, how to use the students as part of their education to get the real experience as part of these really important projects.
So I think this helped very much, because we built a team, and now I think the laboratory have a good capacity, human capacity. And this also, we did it with the support of the community. Because in the community, we have everything. You know, so you remember many, many times, we work for writing paper, for analysis, for some learning some new tools, for map, for a survey. So we have a good support from the foundation, crowd for our community. And also, what I can say, so I start as entomologist. I know just the best. And also entomology became something very different. So now we have acarologists, we have social scientists, especially on entomology. We have extension people. We have so many. And now, you know, the last generation, so we have entomology as a food. Because at the beginning, we are here to just killing the insects. Now we are working on enhancing biodiversity. And now you have the project of soldier
Black soldier fly.
Black soldier fly.
I've been hearing about it.
It's a unique problem. But initially, they are the ones who work for killing insects. So now we turn it ontology, we see what is opportunity and using insects and the natural resources to control. So to enhance, to increase biodiversity. And now, at the last part, we have black soldier flies. So how to use it for feeding people? Because we can use it for as an instrument.
So that's for actually using waste products from the agricultural process or from your food waste.
Using it for compost.
Exactly.
And we use it also for fertilizer and use it for feeding animal, chicken, and fish. So a good aspect. So tea was, well, many, many people and well, many, many specialists. And now I think entomology tapped the bee science who can do many, many things for people.
I want to come back to where you started, which was when you started on this journey in the three countries, there was literally a handful of people. Now you probably can't count the number of people in the three countries. And a lot of them have gone through your labs, either in Niger, in Burkina, or in Mali. And it's just incredible how you go from university to university. There's been an explosion of universities in all three countries, and all of them are benefiting from the students that have gone through your labs. Again, it's amazing to turn these constraints into the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that you now have this network of people who have gone through this experience of doing things locally. And again, I come back to a point which we made before, that a huge part of your success was you focused on local resources, you focused on being really cost effective. So you didn't bring in fancy machines from outside, you focused on using the local resources, which meant that your students, when they went to a remote university and they were employed somewhere else without any laboratory materials, it didn't matter. They can carry on their work because they can use local resources themselves. And it's an incredible achievement to have not only had the impact you've had on protecting farmers from millet head miner, as we discussed in the previous episode, but also to just building the human resource of these countries. And of all the projects we've supported, you've mentioned how we've been able to support your teams in different ways, but it's been such a privilege to be learning from how change really happens, because it's not just been change in terms of your impacts, it's institutional change. I've seen you go from the National Research Institution to one of the universities. I've seen you navigate the politics of that and to make sure that the role you played at the National Research Institution wasn't lost. One of your former students, in some sense, has taken over your lab there and is running it very well. So that National Research Institution hasn't lost that institutional capacity with you leaving. You've managed to hand that over to the next generation. And in the university, this gave you access to students at a different level again. That whole process you've been through has been extremely thoughtful. And I just want you to again say something about how you've thought about this institution building component, as well as the capacity building component.
And also another aspect. So when we with public institution were working, so I have some concept because one of the problems I have is extension work, how to bring this technology to people. And for that, some of my students, we have a kind of bureau.
An NGO.
NGO working now for extension about agroecology.
Exactly.
Now we are working at level of 200 villages in three regions, four regions of India. And now we have demonstration plots. And we have private units working. So now we convince people biological control is a reality for people. Biopesticide also, and seed also, we are working on seed. So to help people, we try to extend agroecological concept. Compost also, people are doing it.
Well, let me see if I can articulate part of that journey. As you said, part of it is alongside the public institutions. You've now got the NGOs supporting it. You've got these private units within the farmer federations. So you've got all these different entities collaborating, working together. But achieving that, part of it was coming back to what you said at the beginning. When you started, you got this finance, and you were thinking, how can you most cost effectively use that money? And the way you've done that meant that this particular project has carried on for 20 years, because the value you've brought, the impact you've done, the way you've evolved has meant you've been continually valued within the community. But more than that, I believe now the funding from Ignite is a very small part of the other fundings you now get. You actually get more money from other sources, but it doesn't play the same role. Now, the team you built is so big now, you need these other funds to be able to achieve all the different things. But it's the Ignite Fund which has sort of been your constant companion, you could say.
I have another dimension after all the success. So one, starting working with Ignite, so we start and we have some results. And this brings us in an international place. And where after that, the team we have in Niger, Burkina Faso, also we start working with SIA project, Legume Lab for millet, for coffee. We are involved together. So to work on this give us additional point for working. After that, so in 2008, we have another project from Bill Gates Foundation, University of Purdue, for work on storage. So we are the part of the team for developing PixBag for storage, for safe storage without pesticide. In Burkina and in Niger, we work together. And now we have this project and for conducting study to demonstrate that we can use PixBag for 12 crops. And now the technology working also. So after that, we have many, many opportunities coming to us. And to everything around the crop protection, and we develop many, many things. So we start with exploitation, but after that, we have a reputation of people coming to us, and we do a very good job, some complementary and also synergic use of funds. So we build and have many, many results in terms of technology development, and in terms also for capacity building, laboratory building, because now we have a laboratory very insect working with many, many people. So very, very interesting. This is another aspect of our success.
Yes.
Because we start here, but many, many people join us and we try to have a good synergy.
And just to again, for your personal journey, this did start with Ignite. Ignite was your break. This was the first funding that you got.
Yeah. This is another aspect. We have a team working with many, many partners.
And I think Ignite being the first, Ignite was your first big break. And when you've had these other opportunities, I've seen the way you kept Ignite as a source of innovation. In many ways, it's given you the space to evolve, to push yourself, to go beyond. Because a lot of the other funding, you've had to deliver on what they want or on what's needed for that funding. Whereas with the CRFS funding, which was formerly CCRP, you've been given the space to say, well, what needs to be done? And have that long-term approach.
Yeah, we have this coming to this meeting. And we have also a visit from the foundation in our country when it was possible. We have a regular Zoom meeting.
And it's been really, for me anyway, it's been fascinating to see how your project is one of the ones where, as you say, we've given specific pieces of support, but we've very rarely given the same piece of support twice. Because as soon as we've supported one member of your team, ODK, for example, we mentioned this as something where when you first saw it, you then took it and you ran with it. We then didn't support anyone in your team. You made sure everyone in your team was using it. And this has been why it's been such a powerful collaboration, that we can therefore be helping you to innovate, helping you to take that next step, to challenge you in some sense to go beyond your entomologist background into the social sciences, and that mutual stimulation has been extremely, I think, beneficial to the community. And the role you've played in building this community is immense. In French, they call you le doyen, which is like the dean. You're the.
And I think I have a chance to meet good people in my studies. So we have very fantastic, serious people. We are really engaged in the development of the country. I have the chance. I think I have good collaborators. I don't remember a time we have a problem with one student or not. Everything is very cool and is well doing.
But this is about making your own luck in that way. You've had this amazing pyramid and you've had a really concrete way of actually making sure that those who are serious, those who work well, who are engaged, you give them the opportunity to grow. And you've done that. You know, it's been an inspiration for me. I've been involved in capacity building across the continent, you know, maybe in East Africa more than West Africa, but I'm now trying. But you are one of my inspirations on this and how using the funds we have well can enable that capacity to build and to build institutions. It's been inspirational watching you on this. But I do want to finish by saying, what's next? And, you know, where are you going?
I think we work now, we establish a team at each country. We have young scientists now. I'm a part of the first generation of scientists, but we have now a second generation who is in business, in the laboratory for work. But we need help to continue working because, you know, now I think the effect of climate change very, very. So we have more insects, so they need to work again together. And I think the private units need also help. When we start, it's just a place, but now we have to build something very consistent, very sustainable. So they need help to bring more technology to them, to bring more equipment, or to help. Now I think our topology, we cover at least 20% of the millet growing area. Incredible. I think we have to go to do more. And we have minimum data. We have to work on modeling. Who can help us explain our good results? Also, for prevision, forecasting, something we can interact with from organization for identification of insects, for early control of pests, on some forecasting understanding.
I understand so,
We have to go to some electronic tools and some application to make our work more effective and also to involve many, many people at the level.
Yeah.
So I think also for botanical insecticide, I think we have now to look again if we can have plants. And my dream is to find some plants we can use, we can grow, to give a chance of local business to grow this plant and to use it for a local 100% insecticide made in West Africa, something like this. Mm. So what I think it's good for us now.
Yeah. Well, the modeling, of course, you're speaking my language. We are obviously here to collaborate on that. And I look forward to, we have some discussions already ongoing about where we could start. And I really look forward to maybe in 6 months or a year time doing another episode, sharing where we're getting to on the modeling, because I think it is something where the opportunities to contribute in your context with technologies that get homegrown. We now have teams locally that I think are involved in some of this work. So I'm really optimistic about that. And I guess I'd like to finish really by once again just repeating my admiration and how much your approach to capacity building has inspired me, and just giving you the opportunity to maybe finish by saying, you've seen many of the other projects have taken different approaches to yours, whether they be within Ignite or in other contexts. Do you have something to share if anyone is thinking about building their team? What are the things which you could finish by saying which might help a young researcher who's getting their first grant? What should they think about?
Okay, I think since I stopped everything for me with my clients, and you have to do good work. When you see entomology in Europe, it's different entomology for agricultural in America, in Russia, anything, you know, it's different. We don't have the same context. So we have to work in entomology in Africa. And what we are doing is different. So you are a scientist, we are here, we have to work for our people. We have to work for the interests of our people. We have to be patient. And you know, the problem we have many dimensions. So we have to work with many people. At the beginning, entomologists have to look for insects. They have to work for soil. But now we are working together. So you have to be open to other disciplines and to work. And you have to exchange also for with scientists anywhere in the world, American, South America, Europe. So you have to exchange even in Africa. West Africa, if you have the opportunity, South Africa, so North Africa, part of Africa. So we have to exchange to see what we can get good and how we can adapt it. And also in Africa, our system, you have to look behind you to help young sister come throughout your application for practical work, for people, for agricultural college. It's very, very interesting. So you have to look, especially in our case, we have to look and you have to help them to build their own career also.
Let me just summarize what I've heard. You've got to be patient. You've got to build the capacity of others behind you to become part of your networks. And you've got to collaborate across discipline, across countries. But you're not looking to replicate what is happening elsewhere. You're looking to find ways to make it locally adapted, to make it really relevant and embedded in the local cultural context, but not just cultural, the realities of your context. That's what I've heard. Incredibly valuable advice.
And I think the quality of the training we have throughout mechanized system and over partners here. I think we have up to 10 PhD, but these people are performing very well as the people trained in some developed country because the training is our reality and we have good quality publication. And me, I started the system just after my PhD, 10 years. I don't do anything because of my initiatives. But when I started my point, here, now I am at the top of my career in university because the work I do helped me having good technical file, good publication. So I think something we have to learn and try to duplicate anywhere.
Let me just draw out that last point, if I've understood it correctly, because one of the things you're saying about the success is the success needs to be multidimensional. You need to be focusing on impact and on the local context. But actually, the fact that you're finding that success within local institutions, but it's international level success. So it really is building that research profile. The quality of your research is, you know, internationally recognized. Having that combination is hard. And I have so much admiration for how you've managed to do this. And I would like to just say one last thing from a personal aspect. I've had many students who I've helped get international opportunities. And I've had some students who I've managed to supervise within African contexts and support them in their local institution. And what I found really interesting is those who go out, when they come back, culturally, it is difficult for them to reintegrate. Those who develop, as you have done, in the local institutions, it's much easier for them to succeed within the institutions because they've built, especially if they're doing high-quality work, they've built those competencies within those institutions that they are now embedded within. And so I love this advice that you're giving. You know, let's get those high-quality PhDs in local institutions. And I think that's great advice. Having international visits to go and see other things, great. That's part of that education. But let's see if we can embed those high-quality PhDs in the local system. Thank you so much. Always an inspiration.
And Mike, not to help about the community and the resource we have for training very well.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that we have a role in providing that support. Yeah. And this is so rare. I wish more funders would do this, would actually not just think about giving the money, but creating the environment for success. Yeah.
I think mechanized concept is the best I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Since 20 years ago when we start, so we have something like inclusivity, cooperation, many things, independence, mm-hmm. local resource, something like that, mm-hmm. involving farmers and research, so everything. We have something, some value for the work, and it helps. And we have many challenges come. You have COVID is coming. We are work together. And now we have insecurity, everything is working. Because here in Malawi, in India, I can't go in Terra. Mm. But I have people yes. working in Terra, doing what we have to do. So very, very interesting. We did many years together yes. in our community. So we developed two, we train people, we give responsibility, and people, everybody is happy. But I think the way working in regional team of people helping very good. And now we have a special team, we have a good results, very interesting.
What I can say, having the privilege of being both on the ground, working directly with the likes of you, mm-hmm. but also sitting with the leadership team mm-hmm. in their meetings, what I can say is that the appreciation is mutual. The respect they have for the work that you're doing specifically, but the whole community mm-hmm. and the way that work is happening. The learning is not one way. The exchange is very much two ways. Mm-hmm. Almost any of the ideas you've mentioned, they've come from observing what a project is doing and saying, that's good. Can we help others to benefit from this as well? Can we systematize it? Can we build structures to be able to share that with others? And that cycle of actually observing what works and getting it to then say, okay, well, how can this be systematized and sharing it with others and going backwards and forwards? It's been a privilege to be part of that. I've loved being part of sharing your stories with the leadership and then coming back with the ideas to sort of then share new ideas, new innovations with you. And just very recently, you've mentioned the modeling. This is something we were engaged in a few years ago because of the observation that this was needed. And therefore, something has been happening for 2 years to prepare for now the collaboration that hopefully we will embark on over the next few years. It is an incredible program to be part of. So thank you again for your time, for sharing your knowledge on this.
Thank you, because it's a part of something I never say. Today I say it with you. I don't have the time to write it or the press to write it. But now we have some results here inside. So I think I'm very happy to share my experience and my thinking with you.
And maybe you're right. Maybe this is something. We should get someone to help us write some of this up, because it is so insightful what you've done. Mm-hmm. And as you say, this is not the knowledge of an entomologist. This is the knowledge of an educator. You know, here it is. It is really deep understanding of educational systems. It's an inspiration. So, yeah, let's get an educator to help us write this up. We'll send this to some educators and see if anyone's interested. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.